I know that we've had a very full service already, and it's been a good one. It's been filled with families and with music, great music, and I feel already, like I do most times when I stand up to preach, that I've been blessed by coming here already, and I hope that blessing can continue as I just share a few thoughts about fathers and families and relationships, which really are the most important things in life. From a Christian perspective, of course, family, putting a man and a woman together and having families, I believe is God's idea. It's a good one when it works well. And here at Piedmont Park Seventh-day Adventist Church, we want you to feel welcome here and comfortable here, accepted here, and as part of our wider church family. So thank you for being here. Thank you for bearing with our technical difficulties this morning. Some things don't always run to plan. As I was thinking about this, what I was going to share this weekend, I took some time out one morning to just go down to Holmes Lake. And as I parked my car and walked around the track, I came and sat down on one of the benches there overlooking the view of the water. It was a bright, sunny morning. And something caught my eye just to my right, and I saw a father with his three young children. They must have been maybe about the same ages as your children, Kevin and Melissa. They were young kids, maybe, I don't know, second or third graders, maybe a little bit older. And this, I could clearly see the dad was very much engaged with the kids. He was teaching them how to fish. I think maybe even for the first time, although I didn't ask him to check to make sure. And as I saw the father and the kids' interaction, and as I heard the father say, "I think you caught one, buddy. I think you caught one. Bring that back in." I almost felt prompted to go up to him and say, "You know, are you always like this? Engaged with your kids, patient, kind, involved with their activities, involved with their lives." And it reminded me of a story that an author and a Christian speaker by the name of Rob Parsons told in his book, The 60-Minute Father. And he is... it was a story that was told about a time when him and his son were having one of those special moments, one of those special memories. And it goes something like this. They were out one day, and they were also fishing. And I think his son probably was hitting the early teenage years, maybe a little bit like my youngest son, Jay, here. And they were out fishing. And Rob was highly competitive, as most men are. And as they were finding a place to fish, they found one quite close to a pathway where people were walking behind them in quite close proximity. And as they were sharing this time together, and as time went on, it was one of those moments, and I'm not a fisherman, it was one of those moments where nothing was catching, nothing was biting. And so Rob, who was, like I said, highly competitive, turned to his son and said, "Look, son, take the rod for a moment. I'm going to go and change this scenario." And so his dad went off and went back to the car. And within, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, he seemed to be back again with a package, a bundle. And again, people were walking quite close by, certainly within earshot of what they were doing. And the son realized that the father had gone and bought a fish. And so he said, "Just hold the line steady, son. I'm going to attach it, and this is what you're going to do. What we'll do is we'll wait for the next larger group of people to come forward past us, and I'll wiggle the line and pull the fish up. And you can say, 'Dad, Dad, I think you caught one.'" So the plan went into action. the fish went into the water, and there was a group of about 7 or 8 people that were on the horizon. And so the father looked at his son, gave him a wink of the eye. The son was ready. And as the people came by quite closely, Rob tugged on the line. Everything was going to plan. He started to reel the fish in. And before his son could say anything, Rob looked and he could hear laughter. Much laughter. Just like only kids can do. We sometimes lose that, don't we, when we become adults. Life gets very serious, but kids like to have fun. And so the kid was just doubled up, creased up, on the floor next to him, and couldn't get a word out. After a little while the son had settled down and was able to speak again, Rob said to him, "Well, what about our plan? You didn't come through on your part. What happened?" And as the son was gathering himself after that laughter, he said, "Dad," he said, "the fish looked dead." But he said, Dad, he said, Dad, "that wasn't the funniest thing." He said, "You'd hooked it through the tail." And so I guess we all, don't we, need to have those kind of memories, built-in memories with our own children. And I think, you know, growing up, as I see two of my sons here in the audience today, I hope they would say that through the years, Dad has sometimes a sense of humor and a sense of fun that we can enjoy doing a lot of things together. It's funny, as I look back and, you know, seeing those young families and dedicating their babies, it just reminds me of how soon it seemed that my kids, and I was down on the floor with them playing, you know, with their toy cars, with their Hot Wheels cars. Now, of course, Curtis, we're playing with real ones, aren't we? I went recently to purchase his first car with him. I don't know what your father was like, and I'm not going to spend a long time talking about my own father today, albeit to say that we just recently returned from a very happy family celebration in San Diego, California, where my parents were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And they came across from England, and we were there creating memories, creating special memories, pictures that were taken, things that we can look back on and say, yes, that was family. That was fun. You may have had a great father. You may not have had such a great father. The wonderful news that Jesus came to share with all of us is that we all share a heavenly father. A heavenly father. A perfect father who knows how to love each one of us in a perfect way. And I certainly appreciated the times that my dad did things with myself and my brothers. He took us to learn dry skiing. He took us to fly kites. He taught us how to ride our bikes. He did so many things with us. And it's that special thing that I remember about my own father and try to model that in my own family, realizing all too often that my fatherhood is not perfect. But I hope, and I'm speaking especially to the fathers here, especially to the fathers who know how to work hard, hope that you take that time to build relationships with your children. It's especially pertinent and important in a religious context that you, as a modeler of God, alongside mom as well, of course, that we model what it's like, that we model what our Heavenly Father is like, and that we give us kids a strong sense of identity in Jesus, that we love them, that we give them a sense of belonging. They're welcome to stay for a little while. In the passage of Scripture that Rick read for us, and if you have your Bibles, please turn there, John chapter 17. Jesus is at a critical stage in his earthly life. And before we read any more from it, let's bow our heads, shall we, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that though sometimes we may feel you're an absent Father, that you're not. You're bending over. You're highly interested in every aspect and every thought and every action, every word of our lives. We thank you that you sent Jesus, who said these incredible words, "Whoever's seen me has seen the Father." And so we understand fatherhood as we understand parenting. We understand that through Jesus, who was kind and compassionate. And we pray that in this place, we as church leaders may model, that we may be a church where family and fatherhood is cherished, where we learn how to love one another deeply despite our differences, and that this final prayer of Jesus, this last great prayer before the last great battle, there can be some thoughts in here that can help us in our human relationships today. And so we ask your blessing upon these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that we see very clearly in the Gospels that Jesus was highly relational. I'll say that again. We can see quite clearly from the Gospel record that Jesus was highly social. He was highly relational. There's no way that he would have had the crowds following him that he did, attracting the type of people that he did, if he wasn't highly relational. If he didn't know how to get the key to open people's hearts and minds. And it's that gift as a pastor that I most sincerely hope to emulate. The key. What is it? What thought? What words? What can be modeled? What can be exampled in front of people to reveal what God is like? It's a big challenge, I know. And you can see this very early in the Gospel of John. John chapter 3 introduces us to Nicodemus, a highly religious, particular, perfectionistic Pharisee who had risen to the heights within Judaism, coming to Jesus at night, for it was far too risky to speak with this Jesus of Nazareth during the daylight. And so this Pharisee, this person who had a highly structured, highly organized, highly exemplary religious life, comes to find Jesus at night time. You know, in my book, any time is a good time to find Jesus and talk with Jesus, whether it's in the daytime or whether it's at night time. And so Jesus had an attractiveness about him that even touched the heart of religious hardliners. And then you look at the contrast and go into John chapter 4. You see Jesus waiting for his disciples to buy him food because he's tired. He's on a long journey. And he's in, of all places, Samaria. And we know how much the Samaritans and the Jews had friction. And so Jesus is there, thirsty and tired, and a woman who's had five husbands, five men, living with another one, comes, and Jesus sees into her eyes and says, here's another candidate for my kingdom. Here's another sinner that might need my grace. Here's another one that I can share what my heavenly Father is like with. And so Jesus engages her at the well in a fascinating conversation that goes all over the place, but ends up with her saying to her that he couldn't say to Nicodemus, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's speaking to you. I am the Messiah. And you know the story. The woman goes back and brings out almost the whole town. And Jesus spends another couple of days with them, eating at their tables, sleeping in their beds, sharing the good news about his Father. What a contrast. Where do you fit in that spectrum? Nicodemus. The Samaritan woman, we don't even have a name for her. But her influence for Jesus far exceeded Nicodemus's to start with. So this Father's Day weekend, not just for the fathers, but for the mothers and the grandfathers and the grandmothers and the kids, know that Jesus is highly relational. He's highly interested in your life. He's highly interested in dialoguing with you, beginning a relationship with you that will start here and end in the next life. Do you believe that? Amen. Believe that with all my heart. I don't know the science of it. I don't know how it happens. But once you taste and see the love of Jesus, you get addicted and you can't take anything else. Nothing else fits in its place. Jesus is highly relational, will take you just as you are. Whether you're at the Nicodemus end of the scale or whether your life reflects more like the Samaritan woman. To share with you as well, one other thing as well that I just have to say out of my Christian experience. Jesus' life on earth was a tremendous struggle. I know that some of you have experienced, you know, big moves, moving across state or moving from one state to another state, or maybe you've served as missionaries overseas. I know that, you know, many of you have done that. What it takes to adjust to new places, new smells, new food, new people, new everything. John's gospel is not a secret. Jesus has come from heaven to earth. He hasn't come from Bethlehem. He hasn't even come from Nazareth. It's there right at the start. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's no secret in John's gospel where Jesus is from. The best thing that we can offer to you here today is a divine encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who taught love, who lived compassion, whose life was filled with the Spirit, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Best thing that I can offer you this morning here on this Father's Day weekend is the sacrifice of the Son of God on your behalf. Ellen White says that in Jesus, heaven was poured out in one gift. Would you take that gift this morning? Would you let that gift transform your fatherhood, your motherhood, your childhood, your grandparenthood, this neighborhood? Jesus' life here on earth was a tremendous struggle, and it comes to its climax in this chapter. And so if you have your Bibles, let's just quickly take some thoughts from John chapter 17. I want to read the last verse of John chapter 16, because this is the launching pad for the prayer here. Jesus is instructing his disciples. Jesus is going away, but he's promised to return. And he's coming back soon in this chapter. And so if you have your Bibles, let's just quickly take some thoughts from John chapter 17. I want to read the last verse of John chapter 16 because this is the launching pad for the prayer here. Jesus is instructing his disciples. Jesus is going away, but he's promised to return. And he's coming back soon. And Jesus said this in verse 33. If you don't hear anything else I hear this morning, just hear this, because there's a choice before you this morning. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And then he says the next sentence as well, friends. In this world, you'll have what? In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me, if you so choose, you can have peace. And it's a peace, friends, that passes all understanding. It's a peace that will keep and guard your hearts and your minds until he returns. In me, Jesus offers, you can have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, whether you're a Christian or not. But then what's the final words here? In the New International Version, it says this, but take heart, be courageous. I have overcome the world. In the original language, it's so emphatic. Jesus says, I myself have conquered. If you're finding life a struggle this morning, take heart. Be courageous. Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus says this before he even goes to the cross. Because for him, the cross was a done deal. And going into chapter 17, after Jesus said this, in the presence of those men who he had poured his life into, who he had trained, who he'd instructed, who he'd slept with, who he'd ate with, who he traveled with, whose dusty feet he washed. In the presence of those men that were going to be the Christian church. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Some of you just came here this morning just to hear those words. Look up. Life is tough. So look up. There's no solution to your problems in yourself. There's no solution to your problems in just merely human thinking. There's a divine answer for human problems. And it's found in the life and in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of that. As a conqueror, Jesus looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. There's Jesus' life in a nutshell. It can be your life too. You either glorify yourself, you glorify God. It's just as simple as that. Let's make this a place where we glorify God. Let's where we do everything to the glory of God. Verse 2, for you granted him or gave him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. And I'll just park on a final thought here on verse 3. This is a verse that's really been very, very meaningful and instrumental in my Christian experience, because for some time my Christian experience was meaningless. For some time my Christian experience was just purely intellectual. I find as I grow older, my Christian experience is now highly relational. And I think it has to move in that direction. Jesus was highly relational. He knew how to talk to people. He knew how to listen to people. He came with divine interpersonal skills. Maybe some of us need a bit of training in that area. Maybe we need to read a few books. Maybe we need to have a few chats or conversations with other people that we trust, because we come to Jesus as we are, right? Whether we're sons and daughters of thunder, whether we have misplaced zeal, we come as we are and Jesus will train us. But verse 3, this is a beautiful verse. And I've already got an eye on the clock, so I'll finish with this one. Now Jesus says, this is eternal life. Here it is. Here's the Jesus definition of eternal life. And he's not talking here about life as in bios or biology, as the Greek word would have it. But he's talking about something that's called eternal life, eternal zoe in the original language. This is not existence. This is life. This is vitality. This is energy. Jesus defines it this way. This is life. This is energy. This is eternal life. And notice that Jesus doesn't define this in quantifiable terms. We'd expect Jesus to say, now this is eternal life. One day after another, 1 week after another, 1 month after another, 1 year after another. He doesn't define it that way. Jesus says, this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Excuse me. This is, friends, eternal life. Relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, the Son, through the empowerment of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so I wish you a happy Father's Day weekend, but invite you to remember that every day can be a happy Father's Day. Start it off in your closet. Start it off in that special place that you have in your room or your garden. Talk, communicate with your Heavenly Father and enjoy the life that He will give you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.